Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Survivor specialists, Phil and intern, you get demoted because your power rankings were absolutely dreadful this week, Mr. Intern. Back. Episode 2 of Survivor Island of the Idols is in the bag. And intern, what place did you have Molly in your prediction, in your power rankings for last week?
I don't remember.
All right, I'll say it out loud. He had her in second place. Everybody just somebody tell intern who went home tonight, because I'm pretty sure that it was
Molly. Ouch.
That was brutal though, man.
Pretty brutal.
I'm bummed that Molly's gone. I thought Molly had a lot of game in her. She seemed like she was really fun. She got too cocky, though. I mean, not for nothing. She didn't even seem like she got that cocky. It seems like Jamal is really cocky. He's trolling. And everybody who's been listening to us since day one knows that I love myself a good troll. And wow, he is like the king troll right now. I'm a big fan.
I mean, I feel like you just bring your bags every single time to Tribal. I don't know what he was doing.
Absolutely. I don't get that at all. When was the last time that somebody didn't bring their bags to tribal? Like, unless you have an idol or you're wearing the immunity necklace. But even then, like, you could just think that something crazy is going to happen. It's season 39. You always bring your bags to tribal. And just the way he was talking about everything, it was great. I loved, at first I thought Nora or Jason were going home. And then we got the confessional of, or not the confessional, but the little side note of, I suggest you take a nap. A good afternoon nap. And I was like, one of those three is going home. They're just too cocky. And Survivor does not let you get away with being that cocky. They would not show us that if we were supposed to root for them, if they were going to win. And Molly goes home. It sucks. I really liked Molly a lot.
See, I was expecting when they like went to go take a nap, I thought like Nora and Jason were actually going to go look for an idol. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, this is why you don't fall asleep on Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. Very fun fact, though, the most important thing, that was Vaughn's winner pick. Molly was Vaughn's winner pick, and for everybody, Vaughn had correctly picked so many. He had Chris last season. He had, who did he have for 37? I think he had Nick Wilson for 37 because he was a lawyer, and Vaughn also went to law school. And now Molly is gone, and from what I see, I do not believe that Molly is coming back into the game. So RIP Vaughn Stewart's winner pick. We thank you a lot, man, but adios. Adios.
See you later, Molly. It feels like we have, like, last week with Ronnie and this week with Molly, like, people that you traditionally think would be good at Survivor are going home so early. Like, is this what the game's come to, I guess? Like, just getting social threats out immediately?
It seems that way, and I'm kind of surprised that they were able to pull the numbers on this, but they must have felt like they would have, like, either you're ostracizing one or you're ostracizing two. I think that if they could not pick up everybody like into this, if they couldn't get Jamal, or they didn't need Jamal and they didn't need Jack, but if you couldn't get Tommy, if you couldn't get Kelly, if you couldn't get Janet, if you couldn't get every single person on board, this vote doesn't happen, because you want to come out of this with only one or two people pissed off. And what I started to worry was going to happen, I'm like, man, Lauren's playing this really hard. Is Lauren going to put a target on her back by saying all this? Luckily for her, that's not how it worked. And this credit really goes to Lauren, despite the fact that what we saw, it kind of went to Tommy. And I love the way Tommy played this today. I like Tommy and Janet as a couple there. We got it very briefly, but I do think that's going to be a very important couple coming down the line here. Janet's name never came up, which I'm also a huge fan of. Old people rule, right? Because Vaughn was saying that, you know, I had too old of a tribe. I keep saying Queen Janet, we're going to stand Janet the entire season. But I'm really surprised that you were able to take it where two people are so on the outs. Nora is clearly so out of her mind out there. She just seems like she can't keep her emotions in check at all. And I'm surprised that we were able to see a bunch of people want to work with those two to vote out somebody who they're perceiving as a really big threat down the line, with the risk of possibly angering more people with a possible swap on the horizon.
I just feel like that's. That you don't do that, like, you know, episode two or like, you know, day six or whatever it was. Like, I mean, that's a classic move of like, you know, take the people on the bottom and like, you know, flip on the people in power. But like, you still got to win challenges. I mean, Molly seemed like she was, you know, holding her weight and doing well. I mean, it wasn't her fault she was losing the challenges, or she lost the immunity challenge today. That was just people couldn't hold up the ladder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was really
they struggled so much with that challenge.
Yeah, seriously. Like, Lyra and Vokai, I get them the names mixed up in my head, but Orange Tribe just got it immediately. And then I thought it was funny that like Chelsea was like through the puzzle and Jeff was like, that's how you do it on Survivor. And then they lost the bag or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was fantastic.
What I wanted to say was, I thought it was cool how Jason, they went up to Jason, were like, oh, we're thinking of voting out, like, you know, the King, Queen, or the Jack. And then Tommy was like, oh, I don't know. I kind of like Jack and I have him in my pocket. And so that kind of helped, you know, Tommy keeps some of his alliance in the game and push the vote on to Molly.
Yeah, because what we saw was, I kind of like Jack and I like Jamal. He even said he had Jamal in his back pocket, but Molly didn't seem like she really connected with anybody else except for Jamal and Jack. And that's what ended up hurting her the most. I'm kind of surprised, though, because she didn't come across cocky to me on TV tonight. She really didn't. Like, Jamal came across cocky to me. Jack was invisible. Like, he was there, but I didn't really get much from him. But I don't feel that Molly came across cocky, but clearly she was not connecting with the other people on this tribe the way that I thought after episode one she was.
Yeah, I mean, I think she just maybe she was just too ingrained in like hanging out with Jamal and Jack that she didn't think she needed to build as many relationships as she thought she did. And, you know, okay, let's, going back to building relationships, let's bring it back a little bit and talk about, you know, Kelly going to Edge of Extinction, or not Edge of Extinction. Wow. Island of the Idols.
Yeah. Wow. With, that's in your head, huh?
Wow. I mean, I don't know. Had that podcast with Rick, and that's all I can think about. But Island of the Idols, Kelly goes there. Bring it back earlier to the start of the episode. So it's a little like, you know, time, whatever, with the podcast. What did you think about Kelly's challenge?
I thought Kelly's challenge was super easy, much easier than starting fire. And it kind of made me question, what was Rob going to offer Kelly? Offer Elizabeth last week? Had Elizabeth said, no, I'm not going to make fire, like, would she have just made fire against Sandra then? And is Sandra supposed to be like the B level, like the first warp room boss? If you know, you're playing like a platform game, like, is she like the first level and Boston Rob is like the head? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised, because that's a big jump. Like, you have to get 4 out of 5 right to you have to get 3 out of 5 right. You're going to get 3 out of 5 right. I mean, if you don't get 3 out of 5 right, how are you hang out with Boston Rob and Sandra for 45 minutes to an hour and not get 3 out of 5 things right? Like, I would be so obsessed with wanting to know everything about them.
And that first question, like, what branch of the military did Sandra's wife serve in? Like, she's wearing an army hat. Like,
and you have just, a 1 in 3 chance anyway.
Right. I'm like, what do you, that's so easy.
Exactly. It's so easy.
Maybe the questions get harder or something. I don't know.
How many daughters does she have? I mean, if you didn't hear that she had 2 daughters, it would have been better. What are their names and how old are they? You know, something like that. Well, name one dog. I mean, dogs always have names that are easy to catch on to. I don't know. I just thought that it was like a really easy challenge compared to making fire against Boston Rob, especially when Boston Rob is as good as he is at fire. And then it looks like next week somebody's infiltrating a camp. Like, that seems insane. How are we going to do that?
How is sneaking into a camp like a survivor skill? Like, hey, you're gonna go spook them. It's a haunted house. Ha ha. Except it's your own camp.
It worked once in Guatemala, right? They had a pool party. So maybe that's what they're trying to pull out here. I don't know. I will say, and I got a lot of crap after the first episode. Not that I really care, but I got a lot of crap because I kept on complaining about Boston Rob and Sandra in their confessional booth. Tonight, it was much better. We only got like 1 or 2 things. That's what I'm all about. I want it less. And then also, I liked it. I actually kind of liked what we got from Island of the Idols. I thought it was fun. I liked Kelly's like whole confessional where it was kind of just spinning her in circles. Am I going to do it? Am I not? Whatever. It is such a time suck, though. That's the biggest problem I have with it. It took up a solid 10 minutes of that episode. And look, it was fun. It was very entertaining. I'm actually enjoying Island of the Idols a lot more than I thought I was going to. I wonder if Johnny Fairplay is still alive or has had like an aneurysm or something watching this. But I just sit there and I'm like, it's 10 minutes. And we did actually get a good amount from Orange tonight, despite the fact that they didn't go to Tribal and that there was so little time to give them. But we'll talk about that in a second. But when you do so much time at Island of the Idols, if that's going to continue to be the trend here, we're going to get the post-Tribal. We're going to get Island of the Idols. We're going to get Challenge. Why am I saying confessional? We're going to get the immunity challenge, and then we're going to get pre-tribal tribal. And that's going to be how these episodes are shaping up. And I just think that Island of the Idols getting its own like segment is a little bit too much, because despite the fact that it was really fun tonight, how much longer are we going to want to keep on continuing to see that instead of seeing like the inner workings of these tribes, like instead of seeing more of what's going on over at Orange or maybe more of what was going on over at Purple before they're about to lose? So that's my only complaint, but I actually thought tonight's was very fun. We also got a very toned down version of Sandra and Rob tonight instead of like so many over the top in your face confessionals, like we're so great, all that stuff. It was a lot more of Kelly telling the story.
It was very fun, you know, watching Kelly like have like, instead of just like, oh, we've seen people make fire before, like, is she gonna do it? Like, sure. But like this challenge was like, do you know that the challenge has started already, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really fun, and seeing like the negotiation that Kelly had between her and Rob of like, how powerful could this idol get? But then yeah, she got back and I looked at my phone and it was 8:26, and I'm like, this is half the episode and we haven't done like any challenge yet, and we still have, you know, challenge, post-challenge, tribal. Like, what? That's insane. Yeah.
It's so true. That was my biggest concern. What were you gonna say?
Kelly coming back and her, what she did to, you know, throw off the tribe of the idol, I thought that was so good. I thought that was incredible.
I thought her and her lie still wasn't great. I don't know why I still don't get why people are lying about Robin Sandra. I don't get it. I don't get why you're not just revealing that Robin Sandra were there. But her lie just seems so much more confident than Elizabeth's. You get there, there's these gigantic statues, it's a man and a woman, and then there's three urns, and I got no game. And I thought that was really awesome. Hiding your idol in your hair, that is a ballsy move, and I'm so happy it paid off her because that was awesome. But she's right. I mean, everybody's coming up to her and hugging her, and it just bam, 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 right in the back of the head over and over.
It wasn't just like she hid it in her hair. She was like, I had to fake cry, and I was just like willing to take off all my clothes. And like, yeah, people would be like, okay, we get it. Like, we don't need to see it. If you're willing to go that far, like, obviously, you know. You don't have an idol, but that was a really good way to mask it. But that also means no one can ever do it again because now you're going to check people's ponytails. So
absolutely.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Kelly.
That's it. So now if you're a woman about to play Survivor or a man who has Joey Amazing or Jack hair, you gotta not hide your idol in there because now it's been done. And I also did love though, like the different reactions to like Kelly saying she was going to like strip down to prove she doesn't have an idol. And then Jason at tribal. Cause like Kelly's was like, no, it's okay. It's okay. We're sorry. Like it's okay. Like, don't worry about it. We understand. Cause you could tell she's like paranoid. And then Jason at tribal, I forget who it was, but they were just like, we don't need to see that.
Stop.
It was just so quick and just, we don't need to see that. I love that. I thought it was great. I'm really feeling like we're supposed to root for Jason. I still don't believe that we're supposed to root for Nora, despite the fact that Nora survived this tonight. And I'm not rooting for Nora. I will say that. I think she's going to be wild on TV. There's no doubt about that. She's going to bring nothing but gold. But I feel like Jason is our, like, if he can overcome this. I mean, even sitting there at Tribal with the jacket on, the way he's sitting there, he looks like David Wright in Millennials vs. Gen X. I mean, he just looks like it. He's got the same part he's playing where it's like, oh my God, what did I do to myself here? I dug myself a hole. How am I ever going to get out of it?
But I thought he at Tribal Council made some good points against Jamal. Like, hey man, I've had to play a different game than you. I have my bags. He seemed a lot more calculated and a lot more like, going back to what you said, Jamal seemed really arrogant. Like, oh yeah, of course my plan's going to work. Like, one of you guys are going home. But Jason was able to like be calculated and like, you know what to say, which was absolutely super cool.
You never say that you're playing Survivor in first gear. You never say that it has not started playing yet because that's when you know you're done. I mean, you know, that's, everybody will tell you that the second that they make that confessional and they feel too comfortable, that's when you go home. And Jamal just found that out the hard way, but he also kind of found it out the easy way because all he lost was Molly. Molly lost the entire game, you know, and I do think, I mean, I think it was Wes Dorn who tweeted it out. He said, you know, Molly going home this early is a 1 seed losing to a 16 seed in March Madness. And it's 100% true. I mean, Molly had the legs for this game. She had the talent to go really far in this game. I think she knew the game. Definitely likable enough, but you just can't make an alliance of three in a group of seven. I mean, or in a group of 10, it worked out kind of for Vince, Elaine, and Tom, but it didn't work out tonight. So it's a shame that Molly goes home. Although I'm kind of happy that I almost saw this coming. And that's why I kept saying it's Morgan Ricky 2.0. It's Morgan Ricky 2.0. And it ended up being Morgan Ricky 2.0. I don't exactly know what place I'm in the power ranking game, but I know that I was one of the people who had Molly in the lowest spot. There are 31 people in the power ranking game. Intern, you might be in 31st place.
I mean, I will hold that 31st place with pride, Phil. You know,
I just want to tell you.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Last year, I had Rick Devens all the way to, you know, Final Four. And, you know, I'm blowing all my bad luck this time. So next season, I'll get it perfect.
There you go. This is
way, like, we're just bouncing all around. But let's go back to the very beginning of the episode. And I thought Aaron, like, right at, yeah, you and me, Ben, it's over. But that's okay. I thought Aaron at the very beginning, when we got, like, the post-tribal stuff from last episode, I thought he was like surprisingly like calm about it. Like, oh yeah, like you played me. I guess I didn't really listen to what you guys were talking about. And I thought Vince was surprisingly aggressive. I thought he would be totally cool, but he's like, wait, why did you guys like not tell me about this? And I don't even know why he was being offended because he like, you know, got 2 votes but didn't get voted out, right? Like,
this is very Lex Vanderberg of him. Very Lex Vanderberg.
Yeah. It's like Ronnie's going to vote for somebody. Like, why is that surprising?
Yeah, and I want to name drop this here because the chat at the bottom here, we have William Arbuckle. Mari 2.0 is a great call. He made that call. If you follow, if you're a patron, $5, $10, $20, you get an extra episode every week about this, about the episode. So that'll be coming to you on Friday. William, that's William right there. Anyway, I do agree with you. Why was Vince so mad? I couldn't believe how angry he got at that. And like, I understand you never want to have your name come up. That's always bad. But like, just assume that it was Ronnie who brought it up, and you got to be calm. You got to play nice. And he comes back. He's like, you got to be calm. I should have played nice. I should have done whatever. But
I really wanted to,
but I didn't want to. And then he just starts like yelling. He just starts yelling. And I was just like, whoa, okay. What is going on here? So I don't get that. That worries me for Vince going forward. Cause I thought that he would kind of have the mentality to realize it's a game and you need to just pretend like, you know what? I got votes. It's okay. Go vent to somebody else. Go find your closest ally and vent to them. But he was very openly venting. He was very openly venting to everybody. And had Aaron not been like the odd man out, I think people might have turned on Vince there and been like, dude, what is wrong with you right now? Chill out.
It's like, you're still in the game, right? Like, you're on the right side of the votes, you know, like that's better than like having your ally go home or go home yourself. So like, I thought the most annoying part for me was that he recognized like, I should hold my tongue, but I'm not going to. It's like, what? That's just,
yeah,
that's not even like ignorance is bliss, you know, that's just like being dumb.
And that's exactly it. Like, I almost forgive Nora because I just don't think Nora can help it. I don't think she gets the game as well as Vince. I think Vince is a big fan of the game, and I think Vince really understands the game. And it does bother me. Like, Vince knows his reaction is incorrect. Why are you making that your reaction then? Like, you're so early in the game. You got two votes and one of those people is gone. Don't do anything to put a bigger target on your back. Also, we didn't hear it all from Elaine tonight, which I thought was very surprising. I want to bring that up while we're talking about Orange. Did not hear once at all from Elaine tonight. She was our MVP of last week in turn. We got to remember to talk about MVP, LVP. You're going to have to defend somebody on Molly's tribe because we are on Alexa's tribe. Sorry, that was a Freudian slip. Molly's gone. She was on Vaughn's tribe. But we're going to have to defend that at some point, but nothing from Elaine tonight. And I thought that was very surprising because we did get a lot of content from other people on this tribe.
Well, how many people did we get content from, actually? I mean, it was probably like half.
Aaron, I don't
know. It wasn't that many.
Aaron.
Vince.
Tom. Missy. Chelsea had a phenomenal episode. Did I mention she was my number one in the rankings? Did anybody, you know, I got stuff, you know, Rick Devin's throwing me some shade on that, but hey, I mean, that survived. There's a guy named Dean who's still somehow on the season. There is
Karishma
who didn't have anything. There was Elizabeth who didn't have anything. And then there was Elaine who didn't have anything. So five out of the nine ended up getting confessionals tonight, ended up getting some screen time. Chelsea definitely had the best episode out of anybody on this tribe, but I just thought it was surprising that Elaine got nothing after how much we are supposed to be in love with Elaine after last week.
Right. I mean, maybe it's just like, I don't know if they talk about this in like edit stuff, like a cool off episode, right? Like, if we were getting a lot of Elaine stuff, like for two or three or four episodes in a row, it might be like a Jacob Derwin thing where it's like, oh, that's it. That's all they're getting. You got voted out. So
yeah,
maybe absolutely. It's like, you know, saving that for later.
And I think that this is such a good cast. And I feel like I say that every year, but sometimes I mean it and sometimes I don't. And this time I mean it. You can all go back and listen to every podcast I've ever done and decide which ones I meant and which ones I didn't.
You can quote Phil on this.
Yeah, you can actually quote me on this one. Exactly. Like, you guys can go like, yeah, staple this one all around the internet. This is a great cast. And so I think that getting somebody like Elaine in early, like they did in episode one, it's a great way to introduce you to the season. And like, she goes to tribal. She's very emotional. It's awesome. And then you can kind of take a step back and let some of these other characters. Kelly was amazing tonight. I mean, I loved Kelly. And yeah, she got to have a lot of time because she went to Island of the Idols, but she was great. Tommy Sheehan was phenomenal. We got a lot more from Chelsea tonight than we did in week one. You know, I think that this is so strong that there's a lot of places to spread, where on some seasons you don't really have that. And I always go back to Millennials versus Gen X, where I love that season. That's always in my top 10. But when I did the pre-merge power rankings, I really struggled with the pre-mergers to write down, like, what did this person do? Because a lot of the pre-merge people didn't get that much content, but the post-merge cast is phenomenal. This season, I mean, we just lost Molly and Ronnie back to back. And I think Molly, if they're going to do like a pre-merge season, a second chances 2.0, the way she was built up here, put her on the ballot and I'm voting her back in a second. I mean, I'm not even going to think twice about it.
Like, I mean, with Ronnie, we could be like, oh yeah, he maybe like didn't connect with people and was like too schemey. But Molly, it's just like, yeah, she was too good. Mm-hmm. You were making like too good of social connections and people thought you were the glue between people in an alliance. And that's why they voted you out. Like, yeah, bring her back. I don't care. That'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that she's one of those people, especially she's going to be fresh in people's mind. People are going to be upset she went home tonight. One thing that I feel like we should talk about too, there's been so much girl power on this season, and there was a lot of talk over at Orange about how the women were in control and how they were so happy about that. And then all of a sudden it turns around, and then as Corey T says here, or Tommy wins, because we were talking a lot about how this felt like a woman was going to win this season based on everything that we saw from the first episode. We were talking about it with Rick on the predictions and power rankings, but all of a sudden tonight, like, Tommy looked so damn good. And maybe it's just, I'm not even just talking.
I mean, Lauren also looked really good. I think Lauren and Tommy were both, like, you know, in the background strategic, right? Like,
that's not like,
oh, I'm Kelly, you know, right. And you got
to
be like a little bit under the radar, you know, coast it out until final eight, make a move, and then, you know, ride that out. And Tommy's doing that. He's coasting.
I agree. I think the two of them, I think Lauren and Tommy, it shows how strong the relationships they've made already are. The fact that they were able to kind of just, I mean, Janet came to Tommy and said, this is who they want to get rid of. And he's like, no. But Janet felt comfortable going to Tommy and saying that. And that shows, like, okay, there might be a girls alliance, but Janet, you're my girl. You come back to me and you tell me things. And I forget who said that, but we've done so many interviews with these survivors, and what they say is, if somebody's coming to you, giving you information, you know, you're doing well. Because they're coming to you. You don't have to go to them and be like, hey, what did they say? Janet just comes up to Tommy and says, this is what the word around camp is. But how much does it say about how good Lauren is socially? The fact that Tommy just ends up going along with it, despite the fact that he doesn't think that it's in his best interest, and that everybody else is also in the same boat.
Right. I mean, I think both of those are like good reasons that they, you know, they obviously have influence in the game. They maybe Lauren was the one that spearheaded the Molly bit, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Lauren was the one that made it happen. Tommy was able to influence it. And, you know, I think Nora and Jason just kind of were like, wait, are we safe? And they're like, yeah, we're safe. And then Nora had to stop dancing. But Molly and Tommy, they're doing super well. They're, you know, behind or in the shadows making moves.
Lauren and Tommy, not Molly and Tommy.
You're right. Well, Molly's in the shadows because she got voted out.
Because she's gone. She went bye-bye. Yeah. But yeah, I loved the Nora dancing thing. And Jason, see, this is again like where Jason was kind of giving me David Wright vibes, where it's just like, okay, stop doing that. But like really inside, you can see him being like, if you don't cut this shit right now, and like you can see it's kind of, and like she can't stop it. That reminds me of how David Wright was kind of with Jessica Lewis a little bit, where like Jessica was like the more emotional to David's more cerebral. That's what this feels like. And honestly, like as much as it sucks that Molly is gone, Nora and Jason as a little odd couple here for a good amount of the season is so much fun. And you know, I don't know where this tribe is going to go, but if like somehow this would be the final seven of our season and Jack and Jamal are gone, but like Nora and Jason are sitting there and you're just like, how did this happen? Like, who are these guys? Right. I love that. I think that's a really good, really good time.
Some fun Nora moments we had tonight. One of them was when Nora was doing the yoga. Not only did she do the yoga, but then after she did the yoga and the boat came, she's like, oh my God, the boat came after the yoga. And it's like who cares? Yeah. Also, her confessional.
They waited it out.
They did. Also, her confessional was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
When voting out Molly, it was like all hail the queen, but now it's time to let you go. It's the rise up of, the nerds and the weirdos. It felt like Game of Thrones or something. It was so cool.
It really did. It was really brutal. I could not believe that that's how it went down for her. And also, like, the way she said it, I was like, so is this like Nora's kind of closing words, or is that actually how this is going to go down? And she was right. That's exactly how it went down. I thought the Jack doing his, like, you had to keep putting your arms over your head, and it was like, wrong.
what are we doing?
Yeah. But I do think Jack is very long for this game, even though Molly goes home tonight, because the way he said, like, I don't want to wear a suit. I don't want to work in an office. I feel very at home here. I feel like he's going to have that like journey throughout this entire show. And his journey is not going to end as abruptly as somebody like Molly's did. I feel like Jamal could very easily go home very, very, very soon. But I feel like Jack, he's going to be sticking around for a little while.
I think if Jamal's able to like, you know, take this tribal as a lesson and be like, oh, I got to not be as confident and I got to start bringing my bag to tribal, just like give up that air of, you know, being worried. I think that'll help him go far, but if he doesn't, he's not long for this game.
No, absolutely. But I don't know. We'll see how he ends up going. Where are we at? I'm sorry. Rick Devins just tweeted at me and said, big week for Chelsea at Phil Wood. So I just had to, I got a little distracted there. You know, it's when Rick Devins tweets at you, you got to look at your phone immediately.
Yeah. You got to respond even on a podcast.
You have to respond even on a podcast. It was a big week for Chelsea though. I mean, everybody take notice. I put her at number one. I got a lot of crap for that, but I liked it. I also liked how blatant this, the naming of like this alliance was. We have the king, the queen, and the jack. And then I liked, it's like,
so funny.
Can you pick up what I'm putting down? It's like, no, could you please be a little less subtle? I need it to be more on the nose. I can't figure this out.
Right, right. Oh so man. Funny. It was so good. So yeah. Many good Nora moments tonight.
Yeah, let's go to the trial. Let's talk about the challenge a little bit though, because here's Jordan Spencer. When Chelsea lost the bag, I was like, oh my God, Rick is gonna lose it. And I'm sure he was just laughing at me, making fun of me, going, Phil would put that girl at number one. Not only did she blow it last week in the puzzle, now she's gonna lose the bag. Why do you think that Vokai had so much trouble holding up that ladder? They're the bigger tribe.
I don't know. I feel like you put like three people on each side and then, you know, you hold up the ladder. I don't know what was going on.
I don't know. It took them three or four tries to get it done. And Chelsea and everybody, they had time to lose their bag, find it, get back up there and just, you know, get a head start on that challenge. I was really surprised that they struggled so much with this.
I don't know. I mean, it's, you just hold it up. I
yeah.
I feel like it's not that hard.
I agree. I think that this was fun though. I like this type of challenge where like you have the ladder, you got to drag it underwater. You got to lift it up. You got to get them up there. Like it's not just like a stationary thing or build a human pyramid or anything like that. Like I liked how this was done. I thought it was very visually appealing. I really liked like the ladder has to be slid in and then you run across that. The last part of the challenge felt a lot like luck to me. Just throwing those balls over. I don't know how I felt about that, but damn, Missy got it done. It was Missy who got it done. I need to keep pointing.
She did. I don't know how you like get, because usually there's like a learning curve with challenges, right? Mm-hmm. Like you throw the thing and it's like, oh, it's heavier than expected. I will throw harder. But this one is it's like Plinko. You're just like, I got it. Nice. Good job, team. Thanks. It was me, I guess. I'm the luckiest here.
Yeah, it didn't feel like there was much of a skill to it. I'm sure there was a little bit of a learning curve, but it really did not feel like I'm so close. I just need to do this one thing a little bit differently. Like I felt like there was a good amount of luck involved in this. So I don't know. That's just how I felt.
And then it ended up being like super close anyways, like even after all the problems Purple Tribe had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I mean. Because like making that last one, the first one's easy. The second one's probably not too hard, especially the way Jamal did it, where it bounced off each thing. But the third one seemed really, really hard. So I don't know. And Jamal was really close to getting that. And had Jamal gotten that, I mean, his ego might have burned down all Fiji. Like he might have that would have been the end of that.
He would have been medically evacuated because he just, you know, burst into flames out of his own ego.
Exactly. So that challenge went down. First thing we hear is a confessional from Tommy Sheehan right after, where he's talking about how he plans to play Survivor, and it's how it kind of went down. I'm really curious. There's a lot of really rootable people on this season right now. A lot of really rootable people. Also, like when we actually do start talking MVP, LVP, like Chelsea made the fire in 2 seconds. And like, if that doesn't show you like how much of a super fan somebody is.
I also forgot about that. She got the idol and built the fire.
Yeah.
And it lost the bag. Like that's really good.
She had she found the bag. So that's all that really matters. But you know, the reason I'm bringing that up is like when you're talking about like, there's so many rootable people. You have Tommy, you have Missy, you have Lauren, you have Chelsea, you have Tom Laidlaw, who's very rootable. Elaine, who we didn't even see tonight, is very rootable. There's so many people that you can just sit there and be like, I want them to do well. And, you know, I have my little family, you know, group text that's going on and everybody wants somebody different to go home, or everybody's already rooting for somebody different. And that's a good thing for Survivor, because we see what happened last year when the evil Rick Devins, the person who hates puppies and rainbows, the man who ruined an entire season because he just had so many confessionals. But that's kind of what happens some season when you have somebody who's so much bigger of a personality than who he's left with or who they are left with. It starts to do that. And I think on this season, we're never going to run into that problem unless Dean is in the final three. Yeah. He's the only one who I think Dean is the only one we have not heard anything from. And tonight, Purple Kelly, eat your heart out, because tonight Dean showed you how to get an invisible edit.
What's the longest someone's gone without like getting a confessional. Do you know that off the top of your head?
It might be Benry. It might be Benry.
Maybe Benry.
Benry had a ridiculously long time.
Someone tweet at us with the answer. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Exactly. At Survivor Specialists. You could also do it at Intern Robert. I don't know who that's going to go to, but you could tweet it at Intern Robert. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I know Sandra in her first season, she had like six episodes like pre-merge where she did not have a confessional, which is absolutely ridiculous. It might also be Chelsea from Ghost Island. There's a lot of people, but Dean right now, 0-2, had really nothing tonight. Granted, they win, so it doesn't really matter, but I don't even know if we saw his face. So,
I mean, you saw his face like when he won the challenge, but like that was it. So,
yeah, I don't even remember. I don't even remember that. Seriously, like I really don't. Let's talk about MVP here, because I think talking MVP might spur up some other stuff that we need to talk about here. But let's talk MVP. We all survived the Eliminator game. Rick Devins picked Janet. Vaughn picked Tom Laidlaw. You and I both picked Dean. Who are you?
Good job, us.
Good job, us. Good thing we can make it through. Nobody picked Molly very well. Who are you standing on Alexis Tribe here as the MVP of the episode?
Who does Alexa have?
She has Elizabeth, Jamal, Jason, Dean, and unfortunately she has Chelsea.
Chelsea. I don't know.
Yeah. She made the fire.
Can't disagree with that, Phil, huh? Can you?
I can't. Well, I have Tommy. Tommy, Janet, Dan, Tom, Karishma, Nora. And if I wanted to, I could just, like, with Tommy, it's, you know, he made that happen tonight. You know, if we always end up going like where MVP is always based around like who did well at a vote, even though I always think that that's not really how it should go. But Tommy has positioned himself really, really well. He's aligned really well with everybody in his tribe. He seemed like he was the one who, if he didn't go, nobody was going. But because he did go, everybody went.
His decision to commit to voting at Molly.
That's what I think. It really felt that way. It felt like the entire tribal rested on Tommy's shoulders. Although it's really hard not to say it was Chelsea when she starts a fire. The guys are all trying to start a fire. They're all freezing. And then literally Chelsea just jumps in a second, makes a fire in 2 minutes, makes Tom Laidlaw question his masculine, his manhood for the rest of his life, And then Team Vaughn, he has Lauren. And I think Lauren's really the only other person you could argue, because Lauren's the one who did go out there and push for this vote. But I do think that she wasn't the glue to it. Tommy, like Kelly said to Tommy, right, if you're not going to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Tommy and Kelly also had that agreement. And then Tommy was also talking to Lauren, and Janet talked to Tommy, right? Mm-hmm. Like so many people were converging around Tommy that like, wow. Yeah. The more I think about it, like Tommy is just doing so well. This is great.
He really was. And it's one of those, like, imagine, I can't imagine a better scenario for myself unless Missy is in there. But like, if Tommy and Chelsea were like the two of like the final, like if they're going to be the stars right now, God, it's like, that's what I was thinking before the season started. Now just throw Missy in and I'm feeling real good.
Yeah. I'm having a good time. And we also got both the people that got idols so far are women. So continuing that streak, which is pretty fun.
Also, I liked how Chelsea found hers. I just was walking around. I wasn't expecting to find it. It was there.
Oh, it's in the tree. Oh,
and it was kind of dark when she found that. So that's impressive. Good on you, Chelsea, because it's not easy to end up finding an idol like that.
Chelsea did it. And I think it was Missy or Kelly also. But like they're doing the thing where like one person will follow the other. And as soon as the first person passes the camera, like Chelsea would be second and she would like look and give the camera a smirk a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So good.
Give us that Jim Halpert action.
Exactly. Like, look at us. We're on our way. What did you think, intern, of the intro? The previously on Survivor that was not prefaced with previously on Survivor. No, these are the important things that the specialists talk about.
I didn't. Why? Why did we have that?
I thought it was weird, right?
It was very weird.
Oh, it was very dark.
Like, I was like, everyone watches the next time on Survivor. Like, why are you showing me something that is about to happen, right? Like, who cares?
Yeah, it was weird. It was like almost like jarring. It didn't feel normal, so I was really confused what that was. And I need like, Jeff to tell me previously on Survivor. I need Jeff to let me know.
They do. Well, it was also like it was just last week's preview, right? I'm not like being
no, though. Those were those weren't this week's preview. No, that was like things that happened last week.
Okay. I thought. I guess I just like was zoned out or something, because I like because Jeff didn't say it. I was like, is this the thing from last week that they showed us? But yeah, no. I didn't.
Previously on Survivor, not previously.
Yeah, I need Jeff's soothing voice to, you know, lull me into watching an episode of Survivor.
Well, yeah, I know. I don't know what to make of that. You know, I'm really distraught now, and I feel, I don't know. I'm confused.
I feel a bit nauseous. I feel like I need like an antacid to calm myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I agree. I don't like it either. I will say this. Go ahead.
Okay, going to the next time on Survivor, like who was that that got their hand cut?
Was that Chelsea?
Was it Chelsea? I don't know.
Maybe I really hope it wasn't.
I don't know. Was it Karishma? Because she has that like orange thing, right?
It was definitely somebody on that tribe, and they had darker hair. So it was either Chelsea, Karishma. It was either Chelsea or Karishma. Yeah, it was one or the other.
Oh, man.
I mean, can somebody, has anybody?
Someone should have screen capped that. That would have been smart and a good way to prepare for a podcast. But, you know, you live and you learn.
This is more fun. Somebody just go stalk their Instagrams and see if they have all their fingers.
Yeah. I mean, like getting down to the bone on Survivor, like, ouch. I mean, ouch. That's what people mostly go out for, right? Like infections. So, like, got to make sure that's like all cleaned up.
I think that one is okay, though. Because like they'll wrap that up and then it'll, you know, it won't be as bad. And it, I don't know. I mean, we did see James go out that way, though. Did happen.
And Penner, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking James literally went out because of a finger injury. He went out. Oh, yeah, big James finger. Goes out because his finger got infected. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are thinking that it's Karishma. So
I don't want an injury. I don't like injuries.
I don't think we will. I don't think we're going to get one. I think we'll be okay. What did you think about everybody calling Molly Parvati 2.0, considering we're now on like our 15th iteration of Parvati? What did you think that it's still being considered Parvati 2.0?
Well, I mean, did Parvati get voted out in episode 2?
No, she did not.
There's your answer. I don't think it holds up.
That's a simple way to answer it. I like that. That was very, very easy. What else have we not touched on? I think in terms of MVP, all that stuff, I think we did a really good job here. I think we've covered pretty much everything from the episode. I really hope that we start getting a little bit less of the Boston Robin Sandra, like actually at the Island of the Idols.
I want them to not give us the Oath of the Idols anymore. Like, I get it. I don't need them to be like, we can't win, we can't vote. You're going to have a challenge. Like, yeah, it's okay. We get it. You know,
who made the joke? Somebody had tweeted and said, like, if you fold it together like they did in Edge of Extinction, it actually says they can vote, they can participate in challenges, they can win $1 million. I thought that was hilarious. I do think, like, I wonder if it doesn't actually play into what the challenge is. And, you know, we saw how Kelly said, oh, it caught my eye, that one line in there. If that doesn't actually start to play into the game, then maybe they'll stop showing it. Also, they want to remind you that it's still there, because there are people who missed the first episode of Survivor and don't even blink their eyes at it. They're wrong, but there are those people.
It's very important character development. You got to watch it.
Especially in an hour and a half premiere. It was fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I just hope that we get a little bit less. And, you know, it looks like next week, I mean, if the challenge is going to be, or if like your test is going to be going to somebody else's tribe camp, just have Boston Rob say, this is your test, go do it. Like, are you going to do it or no? Sure. Okay. Bye. Right, like, let's be quick. Let's be on point. They were quicker with it tonight, but it still took up a solid 10 minutes of episode time.
It was really nice having their Boston Rob and Santa's reactions. Like, specifically when they're like, oh, the vote's flipping, like seeing them react was super fun and not in like, I like this kid way. So
I agree with that. That was actually one. And I thought I was going to really hate that, but that was actually one that I really liked. I thought that worked really well there. I wanted to go to prop bet here.
Prop bet, yes.
Have you been paying attention completely?
I think I have been. It seems like if you had Kelly anywhere on your prop bet, you got points.
Here's what we're at right now. Kelly cried a physical tear, got a hidden immunity idol, visited Idol Island, and had the episode title. YOLO, let's play.
That's a lot. It's like, I'm not going to do math. Four whole things. I was going to do a percentage.
Imagine going back in time and like it's 2000 and Lex Vandenberg or, you know, Richard Hatch is playing, and he sits down and they tell him, hey, man, like in 19 years, there's going to be an episode called YOLO Let's Play of the show that you are just making fantastic. What do you think Richard's reaction is to YOLO Let's Play?
What does YOLO mean?
Richard would have known. Rudy comes walking by. Yeah. You only live once, Richard. That's what it means.
Yeah, that's what would have happened.
I like the idea of that. We also had Chelsea got a hidden immunity idol. Elizabeth, we know, also visited Idol Island. Let's see. Confessional in every episode they were in. That definitely goes down for Molly. Molly had a huge episode week one. I was feeling really good about her. Thanks, Molly.
RIP. Didn't we? So I don't know if we announced this last week, but apparently Dean did get his mouth blurred in episode one. So yes. That is counting.
Yes, and we need to go back and rewatch episode one to see if somebody, supposedly two other people got their mouths blurred as well, but we need to go watch it and actually figure it out to see what's going on there. I think, though, Molly is still in the running to have more confessionals than Robin Sandra, because Molly had like 10 confessionals total or something. She had a lot. So
really? That's wild.
Yeah, well, and Gamer Girl says Vince and Chelsea had their mouths blurred. Vince definitely had his mouth blurred tonight. That's true. So
yes, he did. He did.
So Vince and Chelsea. Okay. So Chelsea and Vince cursing everybody off and ruining our G-rated TV time.
Yeah. How dare they? I'm looking for it.
I just got it.
We're updating the spreadsheet live.
Live, everybody. Live.
I found it. Cool.
There you go. Okay. So going into next week, what are you feeling? Not to get into our predictions and power rankings, but what are you feeling about, like, which tribe is going to lose? Because normally, I really thought that we were going to get back to back losses by the Orange Tribe here. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I have no prediction. Let's say Orange, because that's fun. I like it. Okay. Back and forth.
Yeah, I think it could be Orange. We did get a pretty good amount of them tonight, even though it was all in like the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, and then everything else was Kelly and Nora, which was fun. So
absolutely. All right, intern. I mean, this is a short recap, but it doesn't help when 10 minutes of the episode you're being told everything that's going on, so you don't really have to think about it all that much, do you?
Yeah, it's like how many times are we going to listen to Boss and Rob and Sandra, like, you know, explain Island to the Idols? So mm-hmm.
A lot. Did you know that Boss and Rob married Amber right after Survivor?
Was that on season 8, All-Stars?
Oh, my God. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
I wish that would have been the question.
Until tonight.
I wish that would have been the question. I would have been sitting there like, yeah, I know, Rob. Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, I know, Rob. Yeah, I know. Oh, did you also play The Amazing Race a couple times? Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, and you got, like, second on that, too? Oh, so cool.
Dang, you didn't win.
I think he got second, right?
He did. He didn't win. Yeah. But, yeah.
Oh, Boston Rob's really good at getting second.
Yeah, that's true. It's Amber, though, not so much. All right, I guess that's really all we got to cover then. Vote for MVP. You know, if anybody's out there, vote for your MVP. We're thinking, if we had a look at these tribes, we're thinking Chelsea for Team Alexa. We're thinking Tommy for Team Phil, or probably Lauren for Team Vaughn. But feel free to vote for whoever you want. You just put it in the comments down here underneath the video. We also have, like, as I said earlier, Will is back for patrons, $5, $10, $20 patrons. The intern tier actually gets access to a Will podcast, because Will has pretty much been demoted to an intern, which is fantastic to say. But we are going to be live every single week. We are going to probably be coming to you on Fridays, and we'll be posting it then. So if you're a $5, $10, $20 patron, you want to become one, you can hear an extra recap episode every week. It's pretty much going to be like Will's take on it. He's the original Survivor specialist with me. If anybody didn't know that, that's who he is. He was here well before Alexa was, 2 or 3 years in. And then he decided that he was going to be better than all of us, which, you know, now he's gone back. He's come back to reality. But if you want to do that, you always come back. The way that we're going to set this up is that every week our patrons are going to post in the Facebook group any question you want to ask Will, burning questions, anything you have. We're going to take 5 questions. We're going to ask Will about those. Will is playing his own version of the Eliminator game, but instead he's picking somebody who has no chance to win moving forward after every episode, and he can't pick that person again. So that's a little bit easier than what our version of the Eliminator game is, but that's what we're doing. With that, it's going to be really fun. We had a really good time doing it the first week, and that was without getting any questions from any of our fans. Will really wants to call it the Will Goal Room. out of your love for Josh Wiggler. He loves Josh Wiggler, so he wants to call it the Will Goal Room, but I can't say it, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, but if you want to call it the Will Goal Room, go ahead.
There's also like so many L's in that word. It's like W-I-L-L-G-L-E. Calm down.
It's brutal. It's brutal. And then also, we did start our power rankings game this week, but everybody did so bad that if you're feeling good about how you think about this season, go become a $20 patron and enter our power rankings game. You can do it going into week two. You're going to be 2 points behind Robert. You can make that up tomorrow. I mean, it's super easy. The winner gets a buff at the end of the season. So that's really, really easy to get the job done on. We're also going to be doing retrospectives Q&A. We're still doing all that fun stuff, but I just wanted to say we're putting in the Will Goal Room, which is available to $5, $10, $20 patrons. So make sure you get your questions in regarding that. Let us know what you think about this entire video. Go follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Survivor Specialist. Give Alexa a couple more hours just so that she can actually watch the episode because she's at the wild card game. So if you could go ahead, give her a couple more hours and then just start tweeting her that you miss her and that you're annoyed that she's not here and that you're disappointed and all that fun stuff. Make sure you go out there and do all of that. Not that I'm saying anything bad about you, intern. It's just everybody pester Alexa because that's what we do for fun.
She and her sports.
She and her sports. What a loser.
Come watch a real man. Come watch a real man's game. Come watch Survivor. Real man and woman's game because we're inclusive.
Exactly. Unlike the MLB. Alexa, you couldn't play that. You can only work for it. But anyway, that's what she's doing. So start, you know, harassing her, whatever you want to do, whatever the better word for harassing is. But go ahead and say, Alexa, where are you? When are you coming back? Because honestly, I don't know. It's all up in the air. But we will be back on Sunday. It will be intern. It will be I, as far as I know. And we're going to be with the Godfather.
Who's our guest?
We're with the Godfather. The Godfather. It doesn't get any better than that. The Godfather said, everybody, I will never forget this quote. He actually said to me, everybody loves intern. And I don't know.
Everybody does love intern.
I don't know who the hell he was talking to. I don't know what was going on there, but he said, everybody loves intern. So the Godfather. The Godfather cannot wait to come on and talk to intern and I and do power rankings. And I almost wish we would have had him for this week, because if you remember last year, he correctly predicted that Rick Devins was going to go home when nobody thought it was going to happen. He probably would have known Molly was going home this week. The Godfather's got second sight, you know?
Godfather knows all. That's why you don't mess with the Godfather.
Exactly, man. He's puppeting everything, even though he's over there and he's not even on the island and he's just watching it. The edit changes based on what he says.
Yeah, seasons away. It's like from the future. He's like, ooh, I'm going to make you go home.
I'm going to make you go home. That's him, man. That's the Godfather. So if you're excited for that, go ahead. It'll be on Sunday. We have not locked down a time yet, but we will. Intern, you got anything else you want to say right now?
No, make sure to follow Survivor Specialists on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're live on Spotify now. Become a patron. Any amount helps. Did I miss something?
No, this is all going towards Robert's college fund. So, you know.
Yeah, I have to pay off those student loans. Help me out.
Help him out. All right, everybody. We'll see you on Sunday.
Adios.